League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Here we go, everybody. Welcome to the first Kings of Anglia fan social of 2023. And we've been given a new signing for the January transfer window. Massimo Luongo returning to Portman Road on a six-month deal. What a nice little treat for us to start the podcast, the first one of 2023. I'm joined by Peachy and good old Matt Macon as we discuss the signing and all things Town. Thanks again for tuning in. Happy New Year to you all. Let's go over to Peachy first. Happy New Year to you, my friend. How are you feeling so far in 2023?
Happy New Year to you two gentlemen and everyone else listening. Not a bad start. 5 days in. I said to you guys before, put myself a little alcohol ban. I'm going to have a drink on a Saturday. Obviously, that'll be good for, obviously, the football. But yeah, just before we start recording, we get the old news that Mr. Luongo has signed back at the club. Because I remember him being on loan. I can't remember what year it was, but it's like towards the end of the dual era, wasn't it?
Yeah,
looking forward to getting my teeth stuck into that and chat like you say all things ITSC tonight.
Definitely, mate. And thank you very much, Ipswich Town Football Club, for dropping that news just before we recorded. So we're going to be fresh on it straight away. And Mr. Matt Macon, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for joining us as ever. Happy New Year to you. How are you feeling?
Happy New Year to you guys both. It's great to be here on the first one of the show. Yep, all feeling good. Lovely to see the first signing through the door. I can remember Luongo's loan spell last time round, so nice to have him back. Gives us another option in midfield. Doesn't make us quite so reliant on Cam Humphreys. Not that you don't want to see Cam Humphreys on the pitch, but you don't want to nobble his development a bit early doors. So hopefully that's the dam breaking, and over the next week or so, we'll start seeing some more players coming through the door in attacking positions.
Definitely, mate. Yeah, it's
say it, Peachy. I'm not on an alcohol ban. Sorry, mate.
There we go. Good old ghost ship for you audio listeners out there. But first player through the door. 5 days since the window's open, and we've got a player in the door, which is great to see. Well done, Mark Ashton. Of course, Massimo Luongo has been training with the club over Christmas, and it sounds like he's done pretty well, and he's come in to be that replacement probably for Dominic Ball. Of course, he's out for the season. But Massimo Luongo, experienced player, of course. Played against us last year for Sheffield Wednesday. Of course, they got to the playoffs. Was at Middlesbrough at the start of this season, but hadn't played for them. Must be just recovering from his injuries and stuff like that. But he's played at QPR. He's played for Swindon, of course. Came through the youth ranks at Spurs. You know, played under Kieran McKenna in the youth academy. Had a loan spell with Town back in 2012. Under Paul Jewell, and then McCarthy came in, the loan got terminated. But Peachy, from that loan spell, what can you remember from him? Of course, a very young player back then, but since then, he's also become Australian international as well.
Yes, when you say 2010, that's near 13 years ago.
2012.
Oh, 2012. Sorry, I won't listen. Yeah. Sorry, 11. Well,
still, you weren't listening.
11, I was concentrating 11 years ago. Yeah. But one thing I remember, we signed him obviously in the summer on loan, and I remember seeing him in a friendly away at Cambridge United, and I remember seeing him, like, he was just strutting around, pass the ball here, then everywhere, and I thought, yeah, we've got ourselves a little gem here. Unfortunately, I think the loan move to the Championship was probably the wrong move for him at the time. I think he'd have gone down a bit lower, like maybe to League 2, League 1 would have been better off for him, but he showed what a decent player he was then. And then obviously Mick cut it short because he wasn't a proper bloke, or, you know, not going to fit Mick's style that we needed. Obviously, we were in the bottom of the league. We needed to stay up. But I remember he scored a great goal away at Carlisle, sort of come out of the edge of the box to him, and he whacked it in. But I think to get him on a six-month deal is just a no-brainer, really. I mean, he's one of, I'm sure Sheffield Wednesday fans will agree with this, that he was one of their top performers second half of last season. And like I say, with Don Ball and Kamara out, he's an ideal man just to bring him for 6 months. Who knows if get promoted and he's good, he might stay, he might go. But I think with this as well, with Cam Humphreys' development, this could eventually push him forward into like a number 10 role, because he's played there a couple of times now. And I remember he came on against Charlton end of last season and played there.
Yeah.
And he's got an eye for a pass, that lad. But like I say, and squad number 25, good squad number. None of these silly numbers above 39, above stupid numbers. No offence, Mr. Danassian, 44. I can let you off that one. But no, like I say, it's a no-brainer. Freebie, been training with the club, so he'll be up to speed. And hopefully, I presume he can start on Saturday, or play a part on Saturday, I should say.
Yeah, we'll wait and see, of course. We've got Rotherham in the FA Cup, but you know, even if it's on the bench, it's another option there. And of course, we've got a lot of illness in the camp. We've got a few injuries. But Mr. Matt Makin, I don't know why I keep calling you Mr. Matt Makin. I'll stop now. Good old Matt Makin. Massa Olawango on a short-term deal. As Peter said, one of Sheffield Wednesday's best players last season. I think he sort of turned down the new contract because you'll think he wanted to jump back to the Championship. He, you know, unfortunately, it hasn't worked out at Middlesbrough, but he's now with us. Yeah, your thoughts as a whole on this one? And can you remember much from his loan spell?
I can remember fits and starts. Really, it was a bit of a torrid time. I say torrid time. It all got a lot worse more recently. But when he came in, sort of in Paul Jewell's death throes as Ipswich Town manager, really. And like I say, yeah, he wasn't a Mick type player, was he? So he was shipped back, and I think he then went on loan to Swindon after he came to us. But yeah, I mean, it's like Peach. It's a free hit, isn't it? Really, you know, he's had a couple of weeks training now, so he knows the club, he knows the division. Like I said, he was impressive that second half of the season for Sheffield Wednesday last year, and it brings in that cover. It's a no brainer, really. Give him a 6 month contract, see how it goes. And see where we are, hopefully, in the Championship by the end of it, and go from there. Really, it's a bit of a no-brainer, and it's nice. We've got somebody in quite early, so you know, like I said, we're 5 days into the window, not much more you can say on that. Really, hopefully, he'll play a part against Rotherham on Saturday. That's actually the fact that we're actually still in the cup at this stage. It's an opportunity to kind of chuck him in a bit of a. Again, a bit of a free hit to get him up to speed, ready for that game against Argyle on the 14th.
Yeah, definitely, mate. But yeah, first deal done and dusted. Of course, links and rumours flying about already, even before the window got opened, of course, and there's other links and stuff like that. But let's talk about forwards then, the sexy stuff, the strikers. Nathan Broadhead of Everton, of course, currently on loan with Wigan in the Championship. It sounds like he could be getting recalled, and I think Everton looking to sell him on, and we're up there in terms of one of the clubs interested in him. And also George Hurst, remember him back in the summer? Of course, at Blackburn at the moment, on loan from Leicester, but hasn't really had a great time there. But Peachy, two very good players indeed. Both played against us last year for Pompey and, of course, Sunderland respectively after their loan spells there. Of course, Nathan Broadhead got promoted with Sunderland last year, so and scored against us at Portland Road. But what's your thoughts on those two one signings possibly happening?
Like a lot of signings now with Ipswich Town, quite exciting. Like gone are the days of the freebies Luongo, but and like silly loans of like Journeyman. Hurst was a deal I wanted. I think a lot of Town fans wanted in the summer because we saw what he did at Portsmouth, and he had another year development, and you can understand why he went to Blackburn. You know, and Leicester want to go to Blackburn because it's a division up, see how he gets on. But I don't think it's really, obviously hasn't worked out there by the sounds of it. And if you, on social media, some of the Blackburn Rovers fans have already appeared on the Ipswich Town timeline, should we say. And they're not very complimentary of Mr. Hurst, but I'm not worried about that because obviously he's only been given some appearances. But what I saw with him from Pompey, he led the line well and he scored. I know he took a little while to go, but he scored plenty of goals for them. And like, we've got Ladapo. He's brilliant. Hold up plays fantastic. And we've got Jackson, who's a different type of striker. He's going to run in behind. We haven't seen enough of Hadmi, in my opinion. I still think he deserves, he'll get his chance. But I think, like I say, could be next season or even if he gets a chance. I'd love to see it because I still think he can offer something. But with Hurst, he's a similar sort of similar player to Ladapo, I think. He can sort of like hold the ball up a bit, but he's more of a poacher. He'll get in the box quicker. And that's not a criticism of Ladapo either, because I rate him very highly. He seems to get a bit of a bad stick sometimes. Oh, he's not scoring this. Same with Jackson. Like, when we don't win, it's like the striker's fault. But I'm all right in saying we're the second highest scorers in the league. or first?
Don't ask me, mate. You know
we're
me.
Up there. Anyway.
Yeah.
And also, I'll be honest, Broadhead, I don't know a lot about him, to be honest. Only from like my Football Manager knowledge, which isn't a lot. But from what he did at Sunderland, and I think there are championship clubs rumoured to be sniffing around. But if we can get in there for a deal for him, then be a great transfer window, in my opinion. But I would love Hurst. He was my number one target. I think I said it on one of the pods towards the last season for the striker we want. Hurst was up there as one of the top ones I'd have liked. So over to you, Mr. Ashton. I'm sure you'll get it done. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Definitely. Matt, it's exciting. Some names, you know, January transfer window is always, it's always a weird month to make signings, but it sounds like with current reports, Broadhead, Hurst, both, either one of them, your thoughts?
Yeah, it is. I think Peachy hit the nail on the head. We've got something to be excited about in transfer windows again, even in January. We're not just looking at sort of like the dregs or all the sweepings on the barbershop floor after everyone else has had a go. Again, Hurst, he was the one that got away in the summer, really. I think it's one of the most open secrets in the EFL that we were chasing him pretty much from the start to the end of the transfer window. We didn't quite get it. He's gone to Blackburn. It's not worked out there. That's no slight on him as a player, because we all know from players that have come here that sometimes it just doesn't work out for a club. See Kiefer Francisco more recently playing in Qatar. You know, I'd never thought I'd see him in a championship side again, let alone in a World Cup. Sometimes it happens. And again, with Hurst and with Broadhead, again, they know League One. Obviously Hurst had a very good season. He was very impressive for Pompey last season. Broadhead has got experience of getting out of this division via the playoffs with Sunderland last season. They both sound like Kieran McKenna type players as well. We're still, even in January, targeting players. It's a continuation of what we saw in the summer in terms of sort of sensible transfer dealings. You know, Mark Ashton's got his dashboard. Kieran McKenna's got that input. We're not just going out and signing players because we can sign them like we did. I was going to say summer last year. No, it's summer 2021, isn't it? Because it's now 2023. We're not signing players just because we can, like Paul Cook did. One or both would be ideal, really. We don't need a lot, but we need something just to bolster that attack and see us over the line.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Well, let's move on to sort of a question that was, you know, before Massimo Luongo signed. We had our plan, and it was basically, you know, what's your thoughts on Town signing former players? Because there's been a lot of chatter, a lot of talk. Of course, we found out Macaulay Bonn, his deal at QPR was terminated. So, of course, the chat started like, bring him back. And, you know, Connor Wickham as well was another talking point. Jack Marriott as well. So, Peachy, Massimo Luongo, I put him in a different bracket in terms of a former player. You know, he was just a loanee. And, you know, he's had different clubs since then. But with Macaulay Bonn and Jack Marriott and, you know, Connor Wickham, they got that connection to Town because they did have, you know, they started at the club. Of course, Macaulay Bonn, you know, what a season last year, the start of last campaign, and a great story there. What's your thoughts on that, you know, Town signing former players, and your thoughts on Macaulay Bonn?
On signing former players, I don't think it really works that much. Well, I probably forgot a load here, but remember when Kieran Dyer, bless him, came back on loan a few years ago and like he got injured. I remember the year under Joe Royal, when Coochie got injured, we loaned James Scowcroft back. And I know his name Shortland didn't really work. I think like with players like Marriott, he was the one I think sort of got away, but I think like before he left, he had a bit of an attitude. Even he admitted that, and he's gone away, built his career up again. Wickham was the one who was highly thought of, and like I think we got, was it 8 million for him when we sold him? And just injuries have hampered him. Macaulay Bond's a tough one, because I think, in all honesty, if he's not an Ipswich supporter, the blue tinted glasses are off for a lot of people, and he's put in the bracket of other strikers who are not very good, as like they're probably the same bracket as Joe Piggott, personally. Because he had such a great start of the season, scored them goals. I think it was 11 he got last year, which isn't a bad return. If he was to come here, it would be he'd be like third choice or fourth. You could even say fourth, third or fourth. Would you put him above Jackson? Depends which sort of system McKenna's playing. But with Bonn, the heart says, go on, give him 6 months. And if we do fail automatic promotion, who's going to score the winner in the playoff final? blah, blah, blah. But I think with my head...
We're going up automatically, Peachy. Don't start talking about playoffs, mate.
Sorry, pessimistic. Yeah. But if I had my Football Manager head on and I was at managing Ipswich, six-month deal straight away. But I still think... That's starting to sound too harsh. We want to improve the squad and add players of value. I think if we missed out on all our other targets and he was still available, then give him 6 months. But all I say is he got to live our dream last year, playing up front for Ipswich Town, scoring goals. And the one thing he was grateful, he wasn't arrogant about it. He was so grateful. He knew what it meant to us. We knew what it meant to him. It had all the makings of being like a romantic promotion story. Unfortunately, it didn't work out like that. But I just, as a person, I love him, but I just personally, I wouldn't sign him. I mean, I want, if we do sign him now, he can score as many goals and run back down my throat, but I don't think it will happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. What a difference a year makes, though, because you think this time last year, I think we were shouting, like, come on, get him done. QPR, you know, looking to recall him, and we were like, oh, we're going to have to spend $1 or $2 million. But now he's a free agent. There's talk maybe Leighton Orient could be one of the favourites to sign him because he's got a great connection there. And of course, they're doing pretty well in League Two. I know that means he's dropping down two divisions, but if he helps them get promoted, you know, going back to a club that, you know, loves him. What's your thoughts then, Matt, on Macaulay Bon and just former players as a whole? You know, Pablo Cargo is probably one of the success stories in terms of returning. Tommy Miller of some sorts as well. Maybe not as good as Pablo on his return, but it's happened many times. But this is very different with Macaulay Bon. What's your thoughts overall?
Yeah, Pablo's probably the anomaly, isn't he? He's the exception to the rule. I'm going to have to cough, Ross.
Just quickly, I'm so sorry, Pablo. I forgot about you. I couldn't. I'm not happy with myself. I apologise.
It's fine.
There we go. I've got to touch whatever Hutchie had on the pod the other day. Hopefully, that'll be the only cough. it's always, let's never go back, they say, for football. And like you say, Pablo, for every success story there is with Pablo, you've got it with James Scowcroft, Kieran Dyer, Johnny Walters. It didn't really work out and ended his career with that thigh injury. Jack Marriott, he's good at this level. He sorted the attitude out. Same with Connor Wickham. I mean, it's hard for me to accept. I've got to a certain stage in life where I've watched a player's career pretty much from start to finish now that I remember Connor Wickham as a young lad and banging in those goals, and I was desperate to hang on to him. And obviously then eventually him going to Sunderland for $8 million. I'll still remember that goal against Sheffield United in the Championship where he ran it from the halfway line. And he'd been trying that for weeks beforehand and he'd never beat the final man. And Tamás Priskin was in the box and I remember screaming, square it, square it, square it. And he finally beat the final man and was through on goal. And I was quickly going, shoot. And he did. And again, with Maka, it's heart over head, isn't it? And it's if he wasn't a Town fan, if he didn't know how much he loved the club and he loved the fans, and you know, as a person, I love him. But any of those three shouldn't be first choice targets. I wouldn't be against, particularly with Bon and Wickham, because they're free transfers, they're both free agents. I wouldn't be against bringing them in as squad players. I think Bon in particular would probably provide that other option of chaos off the bench that I think Ahadmo was signed for, but he's not getting. And I appreciate what Peachy's been saying about Ahadmo getting a bit of a go, but I don't, at this point now, I don't think we can afford to give him a go this half of the season. So I think perhaps it's better maybe if you bring in somebody like Bon or Wickham as that squad player and send Ahadmo out on, I don't know, back to Burton, maybe on loan or somewhere in League Two to get some minutes in his legs. He's clearly a project. I certainly wouldn't want to write him off in a Town shirt, but I just think now we're going to start getting into the business end of the season. Perhaps you bring in one of those three, ideally one of the two that you wouldn't have to pay a fee for, as squad players, but really we should be, in terms of first choice signings, we need to be aiming higher than, and it breaks my heart to say it about Bon in particular, but we should be aiming higher than Macaulay Bon, we should be aiming higher than Connor Wickham, we should be aiming higher than Jack Marriott. I don't think signing Jack Marriott weakens a promotion rival per se, because I think Peterborough, we're well clear of Peterborough, and as long as we keep on our track, wherever we finish, whether it's in the top two or third, and it will be in the top two. I'm just going to add that in there. Clip that. And, you know, it's not like weakening taking the player off Sheffield Wednesday or Barnsley or somebody like that, or even if Morgan Whittaker came here from Swansea now, as he's been recalled from Argyle. You've got to really think with your head on former players, because it often doesn't work out. And I think in these particular instances, they are not the three that are being linked, aren't they, kind of the answers, are they?
No, yeah, the upgrades, as you were speaking about, will be Broadhead and Hurst. Definitely, so they're definitely ones who guaranteed starters if they signed. Macaulay-Bond would just be more of a squad player and more just a romantic sort of thing. Let's bring him in for 6 months and then, you know, he's there to be part of hopefully a promotion winning team and all that sort of stuff.
I've listened to the first part of the recent pod that's dropped. I haven't had a chance to finish it all, and I think Stu summed it up quite nicely. He said about McBond would bring a different energy to the dressing room and to the squad. And there is perhaps a bone, like you say, if you're deregistering players like Dominic Bourne, Panucci, Kamara, who probably aren't going to feature again this season, that's four senior player slots where you can bring in. So if we've got Luongo in now, that's three slots left in particular. You know, you bring in Hurst or Broadhead. If you don't bring both those in, that's another two slots left. There's a place for, we want to carry on with sort of having that depth. So there might be a place for them that way. I just really don't think that they are the answer to the problem at the moment. I certainly wouldn't be ranking Connor Wickham or Macaulay-Bond over Freddie Ladapo.
Yeah, definitely. Also, some breaking news. Joel Coleman has extended his deal until the end of the season. The goalie, third choice goalie, of course, was signed, I think, in November as a cover for Nick Hayes, who suffered a foot injury. That just got confirmed this evening as well. So I just thought I'll say it. Always good to have solid backup. So, of course, Christian Walton is our guaranteed number one, but I'm sure... sounds nowadays you always need multiple goalkeepers, and I'm sure it's just a goalkeeper union, isn't it? But I just thought I'd mention it. So good old Joel Coleman.
Just a thought. If we have, obviously, is it a deal for the end of the season for Coleman? Did you say?
Yeah, it's been extended until the end of the season.
So is that Hayes is out for the season, or could there be interest in Halaki? Just to throw that out there, because I know Bass is a good keeper, and like he could. Well, he could play for another League One club, League Two, or even he's always rumoured like Scottish clubs. Like you look at Hearts. Obviously, poor Craig Gordon with that double leg break.
Yeah,
he'd be the ideal candidate. But
was it Hearts that were in for him in the summer? There was a Scottish club in for him in the summer.
Yeah, was it a former manager?
Was it Aberdeen?
Might have been Aberdeen. Whoever it was, I think the bid was far below what we thought would be acceptable.
Yeah, Mr. Ashton sort of told him to go away.
Yeah, Flacky, the thing with Flacky, again, it's another, like I said earlier, it's a case of it just not working out for a player at a club. He came in with a good pedigree. He got the Golden Glove in League Two with Salford the year before. And he just had that horror start to the season. Paul Cook brought in Christian Walton, and then really it's been hard for him. He's put in some decent performances when he's sort of coming in cup competitions, but it would take a serious injury to Christian Walton for him to be displacing in the league side. Yeah. So I can understand he probably is at a stage of his career, he wants to be playing regular first team football, and he's not going to get that here anytime soon. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's angling for a move away.
Definitely. But yeah, I think it sounds like Nick Hayes is several months away from return. So that's probably why, just to have that third choice. And I think they like to have three goalkeepers travelling and just warming up. And Joel Coleman, you know, he's 27, so he's still a young keeper. He's still a young man. Of course, goalkeepers, they can go into their 40s. So... but it sounds like he's been a high level pro. I think that's what McKenna's been saying, and I think the former Huddersfield and Oldham keeper is buzzing to get this done. So there we go then, boys. Not as exciting, of course, as Massimo Luongo re-signing for the football club, but I just thought I'd mention Joel Coleman re-signing for the football club. Right then, boys, let's move into the strike then. So a little break before we end the podcast with how we're feeling, because we are now out of the top two, but still all rosy. Keep the faith, ladies and gentlemen. But let's get into the strike then. Four questions plus a tiebreaker if needed. First question is on a striker. Danny Haynes, the Canary Crusher, He celebrates his birthday this month. How many goals did he score for Town in 128 games? Of course, a few goals against Norwich, but that is all I'm giving you. Goals against Norwich. 128 games. How many goals did he score? I'm just quickly just going to get up the answers because I haven't got them in front of me. Standard Ross, new year, same old me. There we go. Danny Haynes. Okay, then, boys, what do you reckon then? Of course, as always, a point for the closest. And if you get a bang on, you get 2 points.
I went 19.
I've gone 28.
Ooh, 28. Someone is very close. They're one off. And that is Peachy. It's 20. So one off there. So in the same ballpark, you know, Mr. Megan, you thought he would score a little bit more, 20 goals in total.
I'm probably counting two for every time he scored against Norwich.
Yes, probably.
You can count them as twice.
Yeah.
Especially the handball one.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Yes.
Even the own goal. I think the basically one of his shots went, you know, as an own goal for a Norwich player. You know, basically it was going in, but then a Norwich player was in the way and that went in.
It's still Danny Haynes' goal.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. always. Question two. He's another man making his having his birthday this month, and he's a player that has also made returns to Portman Road as a player, but also as a manager this year. Tommy Miller has his birthday this month, and he made his debut against Torpedo Moscow in the UEFA Cup. But who did he replace in that game? Was it Jamie Clapham, Fanini George, or Alan Armstrong? So making his debut, that was away as well that game. For him to make his debut in a European competition for the club. It's mad, really, to think nowadays, you know, people are making their debuts against Buxton or whatever, or in League One against Accrington or whatever. But now, back then, making your debuts in the UEFA Cup.
I can still remember it, Ross. It still hurts.
Yep. Yes. But yeah, was it Jamie Clapham, Finger George, or Anne Armstrong, did he, to make his Ipswich Town bow? What do you reckon then, boys?
I went for Needy George.
Ooh, I almost went that way, but I don't know if you can see it. I went Jamie Clapham.
Wow. Someone is correct, and that man is Matt Macon. It is Jamie Clapham. So it is 1-1 going to the third question. And the third question is on Christoph Berra. Also celebrates his birthday this month. As you can see, this is where we're going. It's birthdays into January, pretty much. This is how it's going. And now, once again, a player that scored a few goals during his time at the club, and when we used to have loads of defenders scoring. How many goals did he score for Town in 185 games? Once again, closest to the correct answer gets a point. If you get a bang on, well done if you get a bang on, by the way. You get 2 points, as always. But yeah, remember him and Tommy Smith's partnership scoring goals from set pieces, headers. I think one season they both scored 5 goals, something like that. So there you go, 5 goals there for you boys.
I think I've gone too low, but I've gone for 9. I think he scored a lot more than that, actually.
I've gone 15, but I don't know if that's too low now.
Well, someone got very close, and that is Matt Macon. It's 14.
Oh, wow. Really?
So you're one off. So you are 2-1 up going into the final question. And it was the legend's birthday, Mick Mill's birthday this week. And we all want to know, don't we? We all want to know, what is his middle name? What is his middle name? So this is an opportunity now for Peachy to take this to a tiebreaker, but Matt could get it right as well. But is it Arthur, Dennis, or Stephen? 3 solid British names there. Arthur, Dennis, or Stephen? Stephen with a P. PH for audio listeners. If you can't, of course, you can't see it on the screen. If you're listening via audio.
Is it Michael Mills? Or is it Mick Mills? Because Michael Arthur, Mick Arthur, you know, Michael Dennis, Michael.
Let me just double check if he is. Because sometimes, you know, there may be. I think you probably do think he would be.
He's just stalling for time.
I am. Make the pod longer.
Let me just see. Yeah, of course it is Michael. And of course it's the MBE, Mick Mills, for his service in football for not just Ipswich, but also England and Southampton and Stoke and stuff like that. But yeah. Okay then, well, Peachy, as you are needing to bring this back to take a third tiebreaker. What are you going for, Arthur, Dennis, or Stephen?
I've gone for Michael Dennis Mills.
Okay, nice.
I have gone for Michael Arthur Mills.
Now, one of you are correct. And to make this interesting, Peachy is correct. It is Dennis.
Hey, Desmond.
It is. There we go. It is Desmond going into the tiebreaker. This is brilliant. Now, talking about former players, former strikers who are currently still playing, and I think I think a lot of players, people would like him to re-sign, but it's definitely not going to happen. And that is Will Keane, but he also celebrates his birthday this month. Now, how many goals did he score for Town in 41 games? Of course, closest to the correct answer takes the crown this week. If you get it bang on, just well done. Just you get an extra well done. So there we go. How many goals? 41 games. Of course, two spells. Well, but it was pretty much one spell, but it was two spells. He came on loan, then it just signed into a permanent deal anyway. But Will Keane doing pretty well at Wigan. Of course, scored against us twice last year for Wigan in that Portland Road game. I know a lot of Town fans, I think it's good old Thomas Seggins would love to him to return. But there we go. All right then, boys, what do you reckon then? How many goals? 41 games. Matt, what are you going for, my friend?
I've gone 11. I've got a feeling 11. I might have gone a bit low.
I think I've gone even lower, 6.
Ooh. Well, it is 9 goals in 41 games. So Matt Macon has won by, by just 1 point, pretty much, because 6-9. I'm trying to do the maths. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is Matt Macon.
Peachy was out by 3. I was out by 2.
Ooh. Not too shabby at all.
Congratulations, Mr. Macon.
Thank you. That was a hard run one there. You know, that's a classic for the books, that is, you know. It's a back and forth there. I'm going to say, Peachy gave me a good run for my money. I've managed to sing it. I almost went 12 and then I went 11. So I'm quite glad, because otherwise we'd have needed another time.
Oh, no. Sorry, we don't want that, boys. We don't want that. That is.
I almost went 5, so don't worry about it. I kind of think a few goals you scored, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I was thinking his return was lower than we think, because he contributed so much more than just goals. But yeah, I was then thinking, oh, hang on, was it more in the teens? But no, I'm quite glad I went with that.
Very good indeed. So the first strike of 2023 in the bag. We've had middle names of Mick Mills. How many goals did Will Keane score? And Danny Haynes gets a mention as well. So not too shabby to start the year with the strike. Let's move on to then the current state of affairs. We've got FA Cup action this weekend. As Matt mentioned earlier, we're in the third round of the FA Cup, which is just weird. It feels weird. Of course, we've got Rotherham at home. But before that, let's talk about how we're feeling with us now out of the top two. Of course, we drew 1-1 with Lincoln. We drew against Portsmouth. We had a lovely Boxing Day win against Oxford, of course. But Peachy, how are you feeling now being out of the top two for the first time since, I think, the second game of the season? So it's been pretty well. But there's a lot of fans feeling a bit disheartened and maybe losing the faith. But how are you feeling, even though, you know, it's by a few points rather than, you know, top two now?
I'm not that worried at the minute. I mean, I think it's just the typical Ipswich way, isn't it? We think, oh, we've blown it, but we've still got half a season to go yet. We've got a transfer window to get through. I mean, some of our rivals might be weakened, they might strengthen. I just think, like, some people just want to be miserable. And I think every football team have got them fans will be miserable. My season's done, we're in the playoffs, we're losing that. I mean, you speak to some people, but I mean, we're lucky if we finish top half now. But no, we've got get through January. If we can get these signings in, I've got full faith in this squad. It's not like the squad when we had Mr. Lambert and we just started dropping like a stone. I think this is our little blip. We've had a tough run of fixtures. We had a few injuries. We've had illness in the camp, like the Lincoln game. I think a lot of people forget. We've had a lot of illness. I mean, some of them players playing weren't 100%. But I think because Tenacity had to come off ill, didn't he? And I think
you threw up a half time. So you're like, come off. I think that's probably why. So if players are like that, you know, throwing up and just not feeling well.
I'll worry if we're not in the top two by the end of April, start of May. still plenty of points to play for. We've got Plymouth and Sheffield Wednesday at home. So to come, I think we've got Derby away, Barnsley away. So we've got tough and Bolton away. Oh, I'm making it worse. Bolton away as well. But if we strengthen the squad, play like we have been playing, we'll be fine. I still think we'll get top two. No playoffs, Mr. Macon.
No playoffs at all. And, you know, Matt, every team has a blip. And sort of the blip maybe came at, maybe it's never the right time, but, you know, it's happened. You know, there's been some frustrating games, but we've also had to come back from, you know, losing positions. You know, both the Portsmouth and Lincoln game, we had to come back from losing positions. But how are you feeling going into the second half of the season now?
Much the same as Peachy. It's disappointing to have dropped out of the top two, haven't been there for so long, but I'm not massively worried about it. I try and adopt, don't get too high with the highs, don't get too low with the lows. And that's what I'm doing. It's disappointing. You know, I thought, obviously, we kicked on well from the Wickham loss, sort of with a comprehensive victory on Boxing Day. I was at Fratton Park. That was a frustrating evening in multiple ways. I can say, but bear in mind, I couldn't get in the ground on time. I walked in just as Portsmouth scored their first. And then somebody was sitting in our allocated seat, so the stewards had to find us somewhere else to sit. That was a frustrating one. I didn't watch the Lincoln game when I follow. I must admit, we were taking our niece to her very first panto at the Wolsey, so that was a priority. So I was kind of checking my phone at interval. But in both cases, and twice in the case of the Portsmouth game, we've come back from a losing position to get a point. And that was a problem even at the start of this season, that if we went behind, we didn't always look like we were going to sort of kick on and salvage something from it. So you take the three Christmas fixtures. I'm not counting Wickham as a Christmas fixture. It's before Christmas. As 5 from 9, it's disappointing. We've lost ground on Plymouth if we want to finish as champions. And of course, I'd want to see us win this league to get out of it. But ultimately, automatic promotion, I'll take first or second. We're only 2 points behind Sheffield Wednesday. They've got weekend off this weekend, same as us. They're still in the cup. They've got to play Wickham on the 14th when we play Argyle. We know from experience, Wickham can take points off top teams. Teams that like to play football, like us, like Sheffield Wednesday. So if we beat Argyle on the 14th, and Sheffield Wednesday, let's say, best case scenario, we win, they lose. We close the gap to Argyle to 3 points. We jump back into the top two over Sheffield Wednesday by a point, you know, and we're straight back in the top two 1 league game week later. And that is obviously dependent on forgetting, obviously, that Plymouth are playing on the 7th because they got dumped out of the cup early doors. So even if we don't close the gap, we're still jumping ahead of Sheffield Wednesday, you know. It's not the end of the world that we've dropped out. And it does feel like a blip. It doesn't feel, like Peachy said, it doesn't feel like when it happened twice under Lambert that we're dropping like a stone and form is falling off a cliff, you know. We're still, in part, putting in some good performances. There were some good parts of our game at Fratton Park on the 29th. It sounded like there was good chunks of the game where we were completely in control against Lincoln on the 2nd, you know. So we're still playing the game. And one thing I have is I do trust in the process. I trust in Kieran McKenna because he has consistently demonstrated since he came to this club that he learns. And he will have been, I'm not going to say tapes like I did on game day outside for Amber, he would have been watching the videos from those last two games, you know, and he will be learning from it and he will be implementing what he's learned on the training ground before the Rotherham game in the cup and before the Argyle game in the league. PG, did you just fall over? Or did your camera go?
My cameras went. What the? My cameras went like that.
Well, yeah. I was watching a video. Yeah.
Sorry.
I thought the house was here. It's subsiding somewhere in West Suffolk.
Yeah, someone moved the house to Newmarket.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not anything to massively worry about. I don't want to say we should dismiss it and we shouldn't be concerned at all, you know. There's been some concerning elements to our performances, but I really do think we will learn from them in the same way we learned from stuff in the earlier part of the season. I think McKenna and Ashton for a long time would have been working on bringing players to strengthen squads, and we've already seen Argyle, and we shouldn't be reliant on other teams losing players, but it is a bonus if others are weakened while we're being strengthened, and we've seen that in Morgan Whittaker being recalled to Swansea. It looks like he might be sold on elsewhere to raise funds because they want to pinch a player off Rotherham, I think. So that's potentially why he's been recalled, because it doesn't sound from Russell Martin's noises that he's in the plans to go back into Swansea's side. Sounds like he'd be sold on. So I've still got Faithful finishing in the top two. I think this is a temporary break from sitting in the top two. Ultimately, the only time we need to be worried about being out of the top two is that last game at the end of the season. Take Portsmouth as an example when they won League Two a few years ago to come up. They were only top on the last day of the season. Argyle were top of the league pretty much from August, September time, pretty much. And Pompey pipped them to the title on the final day, you know. And the same way, it doesn't matter. Even if we keep trading second place between us and Sheffield Wednesday between now and the end of the season, as long as we finish there, that's the important thing. So it's not something to be too disheartened about in this era with this manager, with these owners. You know, I think if this was us dropping out of the top two like it was under Marcus Evans with Paul Lambert in charge, I would be shouting and screaming about it. But I'm really, I'm not losing sleep about it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, definitely. Keep the faith, ladies and gentlemen. Keep the faith. Still a lot of games to play for, a lot of football to be played, and January transfer window's open, so get excited. Get excited indeed. All right then, boys. Well, let's have a little talk about Rotherham then, the FA Cup. Our good friends Rotherham, a team that are always fun to play against, a team that always beats us. But FA Cup, now our record in the FA Cup is dreadful, but Rotherham's is worse because they haven't won a third round tie since 2002. Ours is since 2010. So it's there's worse. They're worse. Peachy, what is your hot takes for this game? They are in our championship side, of course. They are struggling, even though they started the season pretty well. They're now 21st, of course. Paul Warne buggered off, joined Derby. They've got Matt Taylor in charge now. But yeah, what's your thoughts on this one? FA Cup action.
Yeah, that's a great term. Paul Warne just buggered off. I love that. I've just quickly on the FA Cup. I love the FA Cup. I absolutely love it, especially the third round. It's one of my favourite footballing weekends of the football calendar, shall we say. I think it's been said the main part. It's a good marker to see where we're at as well. I mean, I don't know what sort of side Rotherham are going to play, but they're bottom of the form table at the minute in the Championship. So I'm looking forward to the game. So, my hot takes. One of my hot takes is that Cameron Humphreys will score for both teams. Thanks to the main pod. Rotherham have got a player as well. So, and
spelt the same as well.
Is it really?
He's actually spelt the same because Humphreys, you can spell, I think, with R-I-E-S. But it's, you know, Cameron Humphreys spell it with R-E-Y-S or whatever. And the same as the Rotherham players you mentioned, who's a former Man City player, both got the same name. So commentator, I wish you luck. But yeah, carry on, Beachy.
Yeah, and I think the game will be won after the 85th minute onwards. So there's going to be like a late goal to win this. And I think it'll be 2-1 to Ipswich. Because I can't remember the last time we're in the fourth round. So, and hopefully get the win on Saturday, get a nice, maybe away trip somewhere. I don't know, like Chelsea, Man City. Who knows, to be honest. But I'm looking forward to it. And I'm actually, for the first time ever, I'll be in the Lower Cobbold. I've never sat/stood in the Lower Cobbold since I've been going to Ipswich. But luckily, Mr. Bono's putting me and my dad up in the U2. So hopefully he's got some good half-time refreshments for us and all that. But yeah, I look forward to hearing Mr. Makin's hot takes now.
Yeah, indeed. Matt, the big thing is we don't want a replay, do we? That is the one big thing. Kieran McKenna and co, we do not want a replay. No one wants to go to Rotherham on a Tuesday night for an FA Cup replay. But yeah, your hot take, my friend, and your thoughts as a whole about the FA Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't want a replay. We need, one way or another, we need this tie done and dusted on Saturday. I know we're at the other cup competitions, but like you say, a Tuesday night trip out to Yorkshire is not the one when we're sort of getting towards the business end of League One. So my two hot takes. My first hot take is quite simple: is that Ipswich Town will win a third round game because we haven't done it. And you said the year, Ross, which, you know, I was going to say the last time we won a third round tie, Gordon Brown was still Prime Minister. And I know this, and I'm going to give full credit to my friend Gav, because that is his fun fact. So he will kill me if I don't, if he thinks I'm stealing his material. But honestly, 2010 was the last time we got into the fourth round, and then we got eliminated in the fourth round that year. It's great that we're in the third round. A club of our size, I'm not going to say we're a big club, but a club of our stature, we should be entering at this stage, really. It's been very frustrating to watch us play FA Cup football in November. So hopefully we've now seen the last of the first and second round. And it's also nice that we've actually managed to get into third round, because we haven't managed to get this far since we got relegated. So I'm looking forward to it. I did hum and ha, but I've got my tickets yesterday. I'm going to be sitting in the Lower West End for the first time in years with some friends who I don't normally sit with there. Peachy, I hope you enjoy the Lower Cobble. That was where I spent a lot of my misspent youth. Back when there was a turnstile, it was turnstiles basically where Planet Blue is now. I used to get in for £4 on a youth ticket in the late 90s when I was allowed on the train with my mates without my parents supervising to come up from Felixstowe and walk down from the station to the ground, you know, and just get yourself in and sit in that corner. So it was pretty much, I think U2's pretty much in that corner with the North Stand, isn't it? So,
yeah, it is.
That was an entertaining time being next to the old North Stand. You learned some interesting songs as a 15-year-old, and I'll tell you that old single-tier North Stand.
Yeah, I'll be honest, all I'm worried about is the weather. I keep looking, it's going to rain, because like, it's quite uncovered down there, isn't it, I believe? So.
Yeah. So don't take an umbrella. You probably won't make yourself popular in the boxes behind you. I think it's a good test, because Rotherham are a championship side, but they are obviously a lower championship side. It will be interesting to see what side they put out, because they've had a slip in the league. They're obviously looking over their shoulder towards the bottom three rather than looking up at the moment. So how seriously they're going to take it, I don't know. That might give us an opportunity. Also, I think it's a good test. I can see us playing a strong side, a nearly sort of league strength side. Hopefully Haggie will get a run out in goal, but I wouldn't be surprised if Walton came back in for this one. My second hot take, really, what do you think? Let's go with Massimo Luongo to come off the bench and score his second goal for the club. There we go. That's my second hot take. You know, and that's very much come up on the spin. Bearing in mind, I was logging onto my laptop when it came out that we'd signed him. I'm looking forward to it. I'm like Peachy. I like the FA Cup. I remember a time as a kid where basically the BBC was booked out. BBC One was booked out for FA Cup final coverage on final day in May. You know, and it's sad the way the cup's gone and the way top clubs treat it now, and in fact the way it's kind of sort of died off a little bit for fans in general. But I'm still a big fan of the cup. I'm looking forward to it. I know it's Rotherham. We've all seen Rotherham a lot, but you know it's a good opportunity to get a little run and give ourselves a good test against a championship side.
Indeed, and a good thing is, once again, it sounds like there's going to be a decent crowd. In recent FA Cup ties, just cup ties in general, it's normally, you know, the crowds aren't great because there's not much interest in it. But because everything's so nice and, you know, rosy at the moment, people are just like, you know what, I want to watch a bit of football. Let's go down. I think there's never like 10 or 12,000. Matt, you've decided to go. I'm sure in previous years, you're like, do I really want to go watch an FA Cup game? We're going to lose, but yeah.
I think what helps, and again, this wouldn't have happened under Marcus Evans, I don't think, is that just because we've got to the third round, we've now got into where the Championship clubs and the Premier League clubs come in. The club haven't yanked up the prices. It's still a tenner for adults. So I did the ticket run for us, and we got my friend's kids coming with us, £3 for under 19s. So it's encouraging family groups to keep going, you know. And we've got in the Lower West Stand, sort of up in the corner with an all stand where my friends usually sit. Couldn't get their season ticket. There's not a huge amount left where I could get a row, like five of us together. So that's good to see. Obviously, we're not going to get a capacity because the whole ground isn't being opened. But I think in previous times, if we'd progressed in cup competitions, I think tickets, I can remember when we got to the League Cup semi-final in 2011, I paid more for my ticket in the North Stand than I did to sit in the away end at the Emirates for the second leg. I paid £20 for my ticket for the first leg, and I paid a tenner to go to the Emirates for the second leg. So that was the sort of thing that used to happen under the previous regime. So that definitely helps. And it's the old thing. You keep the tickets cheap and you get more bums on seats for these games where previously people will go, especially as we're in a cost of living crisis at the moment, people are looking at what they spend on, and going to football for a lot of people is a luxury. So looking at it going, oh, 20 quid a ticket, I don't know, oh, a tenner a ticket, you know, you're going to get more bums on seats for what is, it's not really a glamorous third round tie because it's Rotherham, you know, and we've seen a lot of Rotherham in the Championship and in League One. So it's not like we've got even like a lower league print, like a Brentford or a Brighton or something, like a lower end or sort of mid-table, I should say, actually, because Brentford and Brighton are doing quite well this season. Yeah. Sort of mid-table Premier League team coming here. We've got a sort of a lower end Championship team coming, but people are still turning out for it. And it's an extension of that feel-good factor that's around the club at the moment.
Definitely. And the magic of the FA Cup, boys. The magic of the FA Cup. Peaches, to end the podcast, any other business, my friend? And what sort of team would you like to see? You know, because we've got a lot of illnesses and injuries. So really, I don't think we can do a weak squad. But, you know, any certain players you'd like to see? You know, it's a chance for Cameron Humphreys. As you said, he's going to score and the other Cameron Humphreys is going to score. So probably an opportunity for him to start. Maybe Greg Lee starting. But then, you know, Sam Morsey, you start him in this game, surely.
Oh, definitely. Sam Morsey starts me. And I'd like to see Luongo start next to him. And I'd like to push, like I said earlier in the pod, Cameron Humphreys up into the one number 10 roles. Probably with maybe Shawny Aluko. Who would I play up front? I'd like to see Ahadmi given a chance. But I think McKenna's not changed his team much. I think Mike Turbitt brought this up. A really good point. But he doesn't change his team that much. He has little. There's never like 10, 11 changes. It's all like 3 changes, 4 changes, maximum 5. So there's always a team cohesion. I mean, I'll say Greg Lee will start. I reckon Keogh will start. But I reckon Danasian, if he's feeling better, will start. But I think one person he might rest is Evans, because he's still come back from that injury. I mean, so they have him on the bench, obviously. But like, yeah, I'd like to see Morsi and Luongo start in the centre mid, get into minutes. And yeah, I'll say it had me personally. But McKenna will surprise us. Who knows? But I'm all for it. With McKenna now, I remember when under previous managers, you look at the team and go, well, why is he playing in? I get McKenna's team and go, yeah, fair enough. He knows what he's all about.
They're tactical changes, aren't they, Peachy? It's not. Yeah. It's night and day to Lambert, because Lambert would make changes in these sorts of games and indeed league games. He'd make changes for change's sake. Whereas McKenna, you see there is a tactical footballing reason for the changes he makes. And you can even see that against Lincoln. Earlier in the week, you know, yeah, bringing in Greg Lee for Leif Davis, because one, Leif Davis was part of, obviously had the illness, and two, Leif Davis will be knackered because he's been playing a lot of football since Greg Lee's been out injured, because McKenna hasn't been able to bring Greg Lee on to sort of mop up that last 15-20 minutes like he was. Mm-hmm. So I've always got, when you see those tweaks to the side, you know, there is still that core, there's generally that spine of players that can keep playing, and you'll tend to see first team players that, again, with Lambert, they drop out of the match day 18 entirely, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Whereas now you'll see, not all of them, but you'll still see quite a few of them on the bench, you know? So if you rest Evans, it wouldn't surprise me if Evans was on the bench and he thought, all right, well, if we're quite comfortable at 70 minutes, I'll bring him on for a bit of a bit of a run out as part of his sort of return still. It's refreshing to see that we're actually making changes tactically rather than just going, well, I fancy sticking these lads out. You know, they haven't had a run out for a bit.
Yeah. Also, am I correct? I can't remember. Am I correct in saying we can name 9 subs in the FA Cup?
I think so. I think it is. Yeah, the FA Cup is one of those, because we still can make the 5 subs as, you know, league, you know, games rules. But yeah, also in the FA Cup, you can, yeah.
It'd be nice.
You can name up to 9 on the bench, which again gives us a great, like you say, it's a degree of flexibility, doesn't it?
Yeah, like Marcy, like Abaje, is it Babu, the striker, and Chirewa? I can never say his name, but you know, some of them lads might make the bench.
Chirewa.
That's the one. Yeah, like maybe a few young, a few youngsters might make the bench. Also, would you like, I think Kyle Edwards might deserve a start as well, but then again, I keep saying this, I'm changing the team more than McKenna probably will, but.
So. Yeah. I think the big thing is we want to look at the Plymouth game as well, because, you know, we don't want to have too many changes and then we're going into the Plymouth game where some players have not had minutes. I know, you know, they've had a lot of minutes over Christmas, but, you know, that's the big talking point is like, yeah, there's going to be, you know, 1 week into the Plymouth game. You want to make sure everyone's going to get a few minutes. But it's just, as you said, you know, a lot of it is just tactical, you know, decisions. In the FA Cup, you're playing against a Championship side. You want to make sure you play a strong enough team. So we want to progress, of course. We want the fourth round just to break that curse of the FA Cup, slash also get an opportunity to play, hopefully, a Premier League team or even maybe a higher Championship team as well. But we shall wait and see. But no, I'm looking forward to it. FA Cup in recent years, as we know, it's been annoying. You know, like Barrow last year, and that was, of course, the end of Paul Cook's era. We had a replay against them. Sorry to bring it up, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, this year we've had two easy, you know, cup games with Buxton and Bracknell. But Rotherham will be a good test to see where we're at. But Peachy, Matt, I think that is it for the podcast. But as always, any other business takeaway, Peachy, have you got anything else you want to mention?
No, not the business. Anyone who's going to the game on Saturday, enjoy it, because the FA Cup is there to be enjoyed, because it's a great competition.
Yeah, I want to see some tin four FA Cups, as always. Always good to see them. So any parents take them there. Because once again, I think this is a good opportunity for, you know, parents to maybe take their kid for the first time for their first game. I know a lot of, I've been seeing a lot of first-time fans this year, but the FA Cup is always an opportunity to sort of bring them to a cup game. So if you are going to your first ever game, you know, with your child or whatever, hope you enjoy them. But yeah, Matt, over to you, my friend. Any other business?
I've actually got two bits I've prepared. First one, Ross, if you'll indulge me, it's a bit of a personal one. My friend's son, who will be watching this back when it goes out, and I'll be sitting with for the Rotherham game, Ollie, he loves the fact that I'm always on game day. He can't understand how I get on. So I did promise his dad that I'd give him a shout out. So hi, Ollie, and I'll see you on Saturday, mate. So that's the first one out of the way and done. And the second one was just really a bit of a plug. Obviously, ITFC women will be having had a sort of an extended break over Christmas and New Year. We'll be back in action on the 15th, Portsmouth away. They've got sort of a run of away games before there's a home league fixture. They should have a home league cup tie in the fourth round, the FA Cup at the end of the month against either Lewis or London Bees, isn't it? Yes. Lewis or London Bees. ITFC Women's Official Supporters Club have arranged a minibus for the Portsmouth away game on the 15th. They put a message out if people are interested in taking a seat on the minibus to get in touch with them. So if you look at ITFC Women's Official Supporters Group on Facebook, or look up ITFC WOSC on Twitter or Instagram, you can find out more information there. So if people are thinking about going to the Portsmouth game and want to get in on the transport that's been organised by the Supporters Club, look it up and get in touch with them.
Good job, my friend. Good job. Always good to plug the women's team. Of course, Track the Girls Talk will be back at some point. Of course, it will likely be after the Portsmouth game with myself and Blue Wilson and a special guest, as always. The women's team, they know how to do a cup run, don't they? FA Cup has been their baby in recent years, having good cup runs. But
not even the quarterfinal, the fifth round against Southampton, that was something else. Winning that and getting to the quarterfinals, and that penalty shootout, and you had all the drama. That was proper FA Cup. All the drama at a tie. We go ahead in extra time. Southampton keeper comes up for a corner, last kick of the game, equalises, takes it to penalties. Sarah Quantrill saves two penalties. You know, we go through absolutely raw. I don't think Mrs. M has forgiven me for pretty much deafening her when the winning penalty went in. And that was some time ago. So, yeah, hopefully that'll be another good run for the women in the FA Cup again this season. Hopefully we can sort of at least equal the run that we had last season.
Definitely, mate. And, yeah, if you haven't gone to a women's game before, myself, Mr. Matt Macon, we always go week in, week out. It's great fun. And, you know, if you want to sort of start something new in this new year, go and take a game in. It's always good to see many new fans and faces. And just like game day, just like this podcast, always wanting to get new voices, new people involved. So if you want to get involved in the podcast and see and chat about town on game day, get in contact with me at RossMediaUK on Twitter and all the other socials. It's always good. Just be like Peachy and Matt Macon, chatting all things town, the club that you love. Well, boys, thanks so much for joining me. Some great chat. Good hour chat on all things town. Massa Luongo, signing for the club. Links to Broadhead and Hurst. The strike making its return. Well done, Matt Macon, winning it. And we'll be back, of course, for many more features, podcasts, and all that sort of stuff. Hope you do enjoy the game. Of course, got to plug our sponsors. Literally forgot about that. Manscaped, use the code KOA to get 20% off and free delivery to shave your crown jewels and all that sort of stuff. And, of course, Ginger Pickle. Good old Tony Southgate. The goats are marketing. If you need your marketing needs, go to Ginger Pickle. They'll help you with that. We'll be back, of course, next week for more podcasts, the main pod, the fan social. Enjoy the game if you're going. Bye-bye for now.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.